Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're continuing what the Mishnah was speaking about yesterday, where you have these different scenarios, and in those scenarios we have machlokot with regards to which type of korbanot you're going to bring based on the safek that's there, and this will just bring additional permutations that bring up these opinions of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi. The first of which is chatichat chelev v'chatichat chulin. He has a scenario where he has two pieces in front of him, one of chulin, one of chelev. Achal achat man, and he ate one of them. Ve'en udeya is a man achal, and he doesn't know which one he ate. Mevi asham taloi. Here everybody agrees you bring an asham taloi, because you have a safek chatat, two pieces in front of you, it's your classic case of asham taloi. Achal at ashniya, if he eats the second piece, then maybe chatat mimon of shach. Because over here he definitely ate chelev, if he definitely ate chelev, he's chayav a chatat, and that everybody would agree with. Achal riachad at arishona, uba acher v'achal at ashniya. In this instance, if the first individual ate one of the pieces, and then the second individual ate the second piece, ze may be asham taloi, ve-ze may be asham taloi. Each one of them brings an asham taloi, because each one of them is a safek violation of chatat chelev. Now, as Rashi notes over here, that this opinion, which again I noted yesterday in the Mishnah, must believe that you don't need chaticha achat mishtei chatichot. Because for the first individual, you did have a chaticha mitok shtei chatichot. But for the second individual, the first one was already consumed. It was only one chaticha. And if you believe you need shtei chatichot, you would not be subject to an asham taloi. It would be the first one brings an asham taloi, the second one is patur. That we don't see over here. We say both of them bring an asham taloi, which means that this Mishnah or this Tana does not subscribe to that necessity of a chaticha mibet chatichot, which we spoke about earlier back on Daf Yudzayin. Now, our Gemara says here, Divi Rabbi Akiva, but if when we get to the Gemara, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to assume that they don't know who the Tana of this position is, and therefore, obviously, their Mishnah did not have Divi Rabbi Akiva in it, and that's why you see Svarim Acherim Lo Garsinan over here, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon Omer, similar to his position yesterday, Shneim may be Machatat Achat. Between the two of them, they bring a single Chatat jointly, and then they will make a tnai between them that whoever requires the chatat, it will belong to them. And they do this instead of bringing each one of them an asham taloi, and then later on having to find out the information and then bring a chatat. This way, it's cheaper to do it this way. First of all, because a chatat is cheaper than an asham, and it saves them then one korban versus bringing three korbanot. Now, even though we know that by a chatat, it's ohol da'alav chatato asher chatat, that it has to be that you have knowledge of the Aveira that you are doing. According to Rabbi Shimon, what's clear is here you do know the Aveira, and you do know what the Chatat is coming for. The only thing you don't know is who it belongs to. And for Rabbi Shimon, that's not a sufficient deficit to make it that you cannot bring a Chatat in that manner. It fulfills, Ohudalav Chatato Asher Chatat. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, similar to Shita yesterday, says, Ein Shtayim Yivim Chatat Achat. Two people can't jointly bring a single korban chatat, maybe because he believes, unlike Rabbi Shimon, that not only do you need to know which chait, you need to know which party chait is associated with, and therefore you can't bring it jointly. Each individual needs to bring their own korban, and as we'll see later on in the Mishnah, this applies to anything that is coming, the kapara, chatat, asham, but not, as the Gemara is going to be dayek, for an asham taloi. Next scenario, chatichat chelev chatichat kodesh. You have these two pieces in front of you. Achal achat mehen. He ate one of them. Ve'ni udeh meizem en achal. He doesn't know which one he ate. Mevi asham taloi. In this case, he brings an asham taloi because of the safek chelev that is involved over here. And even Rabbi Akiva, who normally believes that you bring a asham taloi when it comes to safek bekodesh, over here he's not going to make you bring two ashamot taloyin, as Rashi says. V'she'en kanele v'ra achat. It's either chelev or it's kodesh. So the asham taloi will cover whichever one is the safek aveira that you have over here. Achal et ashniya, if he eats the second one, mevi chatat v'asham vadai, then he brings a chatat for the violation of chelev, and he brings an asham vadai for the violation of mi'ilah, meaning kodesh. Achal achat et arishona v'acher v'achal et ashniya, if an individual ate the first one, and then a second individual ate the second one, ze mevi asham taloi, v'ze mevi asham taloi. Each one of them brings an asham taloi. This is the kuleyam over here because each one of them still has a safek chelev over here. And again, for Rabbi Akiva, you don't need to bring an extra one because there's either or. It's either kodesh or chelev, and so the same safek exists. And therefore, each one only has to bring a single asham taloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shneim Evin Chatat Vasham. Once again, Rabbi Shimon suggests that they bring a Chatat and Hasham in partnership, because one of them needs a Chatat, one of them needs an Hasham. So the one who needs a Chatat, we will say that the Chatat belongs to him. They will forfeit their ownership to the one or the party that needs it. And the Hasham is the other party and will forfeit ownership to the other party. So you bring it out tonight, they purchase it together, and then they are mochel their ownership to the party that needs the Chatat or the Hasham. Rabbi Yossi, once again, Omer, Ein Shnayim Mevim Chatat Vasham, Echad. So we see here, Rabbi Yossi's sheet is not limited to Chatat, but also applies to Hasham, that you can't bring a Korban Kapara B'Shutafut. And again, the deficit is that the party that's bringing it needs to know that they are the one who violated the Isur, and the Korban is being brought for them because they have the knowledge that they require Kapara for the Isur that they violated. Chatichat Chelev, V'chatichat Chelev Kodesh. If it is one piece of chalev and one piece of chalev kodesh, achal achat man, if he eats one of them, v'eino yodea is man achal, doesn't know which one he ate, mevi chatat. There he brings a chatat, because for certain, for sure, he ate chalev. Rabbi Akiva Omer, af hasham taloi. Rabbi Akiva says, on top of that, he has to bring an hasham taloi. This is Rabbi Akiva the shita tell, that by a hasham mi'ilot, if you have a safek, you bring an hasham taloi. So here he has a vadai chalev that he ate, and a safek, the gabei mi'ilah. And so therefore, for Rabbi Akiva, you bring a chatat plus an hasham toloi. According to the Tana Kama, you don't bring an hasham toloi for a hasham mi'ilot. Achalat ha-shniya, if that individual ate the other one, maybe shnei chatot v'hasham vadai. He brings two chatot, one chatat for each piece of chalev that he ate, and in addition to that, an hasham vadai, because there was mi'ilah over here. And obviously, it has to be a scenario where there's some sort of separation between the two pieces of chalev, in order for him to be chayav separately for each piece of chalev. It was helam achat, then it wouldn't necessarily result in two korbanot, so you have to have some sort of yediyah in between. Achal achat et rishona v'acher v'achal et shniya. If someone ate the first piece, and then somebody else ate the second piece, ze mei v'chitat v'ze mei v'chatat. Each one of them brings a chatat, because they both bevadai ate chalev. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, ze v'ze mei v'masham taloi. Rabbi Akiva adds up on top of that, that they both bring and Hasham Taloi, because of the fact that you have a Safek Kodesh in here, and so each one of them has a Safek Mi'ilah, which according to Rabbi Akiva results in Hasham Taloi, and therefore each one of them needs to bring in Hasham Taloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zeh Mevi Chatat, Zeh Mevi Chitat. Rabbi Shimon agrees that each one of them brings a Chatat for the Chelev violation, Ushneim Mevim Hasham Echad. And then, in addition to that, they partner on an Hasham to accomplish taking care of the Hasham Mi'ilot over here. Now, like Rabbi Akiva, who leaves it as a safek, and they each bring the Hasham Taloi, he says they partner on an Hasham, and whoever needs the Hasham, the other party will forfeit his ownership to that individual, and they'll bring an Hasham between them to discharge the obligation with regards to Kodesh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, once again, Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Shneim Evin Hasham Echad. Both of them can't bring one Hasham. So again, we see here Rabbi Yossi saying, with regards to Korbanot Kavarah, you can't have two individuals sharing in it, because by definition that makes it that we're not certain as to who's the party that needs the kapara in this instance. Hatichat chelev, hatichat chelev notar. If he has one piece of chelev, and then the other piece of chelev that's also notar, achal achat man, ben yodev is man achal, one of them doesn't know which one he ate. If he chatat, he brings a chatat, because for sure he violated chelev. Vasham taloi, because he might have violated notar, which is a chiyub karet, and a korban chatat mishogei. So in that case, he brings an asham taloi, when he's uncertain about it. Chalat Ashniya, if he ate the second one, may be Gimel Chatot. In that case, he brings three Chatot, one for each violation of Chalev, and then one for the violation of Notar. The Gemara asks, why isn't there also a problem of Mi'ilah here, because Notar is also Hektesh. Achal Achadet Arishona, Ba'acher Bachalat Ashniya. If one individual ate the first one, and then another individual ate the second one, Zeh Mevi Chatat V'Hasham Taloi, Zeh Mevi Chatat V'Hasham Taloi. According to everyone now, each individual brings a chatat for the chelev violations, and then each one of them brings an asham taloi because of the safek violation associated with the notar, which has a chiyuv chatat bishogeg and a chiyuv karet bimizid, and therefore everybody agrees here that you have to bring an asham taloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he tries again to use his solution, which is zeh mevi chatat v'zeh mevi chatat. Each one of them individual brings a chatat for their violation of chelev, ushneim mevim chatat achat. And then they pool their resources to purchase a third chatat for the notar violation. And then again, they'll make the tanai so that whoever needed the chatat will be the owner of the chatat for the notar part of it. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer more explicitly says his opinion, any chatat that comes to discharge an obligation vis-a-vis a chet, you can't have two parties sharing in that. Now we saw before in the mission, that's true of chatat and asham. In addition, you can be medayek out of Rabbi Yossi's position over here, that it's only a chatat kapara, implying that there are chatot that are not the kapara, and those chatot would be allowed to be brought in a joint manner through a condition. As Rashi notes over here, you have chatat of a yoledet, and in addition to that, you also have the chatat nazir and the chatat of the mitzora. And we know that from Yossi's position back on Zayin Amud Bet, where in the mission over there, he has the same opinion as over here, where you can't have joint ownership for kapara, yet over there, by a safek yoledet, she there can't partner with another woman who the two of them have hapalot, and we're not certain which one belongs to which woman, and therefore we don't know which woman is chayevet, the korban. Rabbi Yossi says that they can bring it jointly. The only time they can't bring it jointly is they bring it on a safek, is when the parties aren't there together. But the parties are there together, they do have the ability to bring it jointly. So you see that Rabbi Yossi, in cases where it's not the kapara, but rather it's a case of hachshara, where the person is a mechusere kapara, he does allow for that type of joint partnership in tanai, which doesn't come for kapara, it's part of being machshir her, be able to enter into the mikdash and eat kodoshim. It is something that is from mechusere kapara. And that is true also of the chatat of the nazir. It's also true of the chatat of the mitzora. All of those chataot are machshirin and not mechaprim. The Gemara does bring opinions or views that say that those chatot are associated with kapara, but it's clear that the primary necessity for those chatot is to be makshir, the individual, to then enter the mikdash and eat kodoshim, and therefore they are not subject to this restriction that Rabbi Yossi says, and Rabbi Yossi is making it clear here that his position is surrounding chet and kapara, not because you can't have partnership in korbanot. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava's Talmid Mufak of Rav Nachman is going to query of him a number of questions about the Mishnah. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nachman, the Rabbi Yossi, Chatatu d'lo maiti shnehem, ha'asham d'loi maiti shnehem. When Rabbi Yossi responds to Rabbi Shimon and says two parties can't bring a chatat, what we're medayek out of his language is that they can't bring a chatat, but they can bring an asham taloi, or they do need to bring an asham taloi. So in that first case that we noted today in the Mishnah, where you have Chelev and Chulin, and over there, Rabbi Shimon suggests that they bring a joint chatat between them. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the Shnehem don't bring a chatat. Implied in that is that they do bring an Asham Taloi, which was the position that we saw of the Tanakama. And then, that's what Rabbi says to Rabbi Nachman, I know Tanakama. That ends up being the same position as the Tanakama. Our Mishnah had it attributed to Rabbi Akiva, but I noted there that most Mishnayot do not have it, and the Gemara does not think that. And therefore the Tanakama said that each one of them, Zeh mevi Hashem Taloi, and Zeh mevi Hashem Taloi, when both of them each ate one of the pieces, each one of them brings in Hashem Taloi. So what's the difference then between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi's position? If you want to tell me one piece out of two is the nafkamina between them, that the Tanakama believes you don't need that, as Rashi noted, and therefore both of them bring in Hashem Taloi. Whereas Rabbi Yossi believes you do need chaticha, chat mishtei chatichot, and therefore only the first party would bring an Hashem Taloi, not the second party. You can't say that. Batanya, we have a bright that explicitly states that Rabbi Yossi's position is not that way, and he believes that may be Hashem Taloi, but that may be Hashem Taloi. So if that's the case, he is exactly like the Tanakama. Amalei HaKamash Malan. So that's what Rabbi Nachman says to Rabbi. That's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us, the Man Tanakama. Who is the Tanakama? It is Rabbi Yossi. And even though it doesn't give attribution to him up there, later on when we see his opinion, then we'll know the information from when he says, you don't bring a chatat, but you do bring an asham, that he's the author of that position of the Tanakama that both of them bring an asham taloi. Chatichat chelev v'chatichat kodesh, chatichat chelev v'chatichat chelev kodesh, chatichat chelev v'chatichat chelev notar, all the cases in our Mishnah. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So once again, Rava says to Rav Nachman, relate nami asham vadai, did notar kodeshu. What about the Hashem Vadai that comes for Kodesh? This is what I mentioned when we were reading the Mishnah, that Notar not only is a problem of Chatat, because there's a few of Karet associated with Notar, Notar also happens to be Kodesh. So when you eat Notar, not only are you in violation of Notar, you're also in violation of Mi'ilah. So why are you only bringing a Korban Chatat to deal with the Notar? Why aren't you bringing in a sham to deal with the mi'ilah aspect of it? That's what Gemara 6 says, v'laitin ami hasham v'dai, dinotar kodeshu. Amalei, the late pei shavei pruta. There wasn't a pruta's worth of value in that which he benefited from. The threshold for mi'ilah is a pruta's worth of hana'ah from hekdesh. That either means that you took that amount of value from hekdesh, you misappropriated that value of hekdesh, or you got hana'ah of that value from hekdesh. So here you have to have sufficient notar to reach a shavei pruta. The Gemara says, v'ami kara di'it pei shavei pruta askinon. Isn't the earlier case a case where there is a shavei pruta in it? Diktani asham vadai. In the case of kodesh, there we said you do bring an asham vadai. That means the case in the Mishnah dealing with something that has a shavei pruta in it, and you bring an asham vadai. Amalei hai chaticha delo notarhi. That one that is not notar, shavei pruta. That one that was kodesh and not notar, there it is shavei pruta. Over here, where we're dealing just with notar, it is less than a shavei pruta. Now the truth is that it might have to do with the nature of notar, as we're going to see in a second, that maybe even the same size piece would have more value as kodesh than it would have as notar, because by definition, notar is left over. Left over means either a day and a night, or 2 days and a night. We're dealing in a time period, there's no refrigeration, so there is probably some deterioration in the meat, and the meat is probably worth a lot less at this point, and therefore, even for the same size, you might be getting less hana'ah, which is going to be an answer of the Gemara in a second. But what he's pointing out is that, yes, the case of chelev and kodesh, the kodesh was shavei pruta in hana'ah. When it comes to the notar case, it was not shavei pruta with regards to the kodesh aspect of this notar. The Gemara says, v'ha yesh ochel achil achat. What about the case that we had back earlier in the Masechta that a person can eat a single achila? Diktani bei. And in that scenario there, one of the violations that you had is notar. And it says there, Rektani may be arba chato'ot. You're going to bring four chato'ot for the different violations of karet over there. Asham echad. And you're also going to bring one asham. Matamei tumat aguf. That ate chelev that was notar min ha'yikodoshim on Yom HaKippurim. So the four chato'ot are associated with the eating tumat aguf, something that is hekdesh. Chelev, which is a chiyuv karet that also involves a chatat. Notar, which is also a chatat. Yom HaKippurim, which is also karet, is a chatat. And then you have the kodesh aspect of it. And the kodesh aspect of it results in a asham vadai because of the mi'ilah aspect of it being mina muktashim. Here you have achila achat, tani bei, notar, tani mei v'arba chotu v'asham achat. Now you can't make a distinction between kodesh, where we say, yeah, that had a shavei pruta in it, but notar didn't have a shavei pruta in it. Now you're dealing with notar in both instances. How you can explain there the notar has a shavei pruta, over here the notar doesn't have a shavei pruta? And basically that's what he says, yes. Amalei, ha'u begasa, ha'i bedaka. Depends on the size of the piece. Over there, he ate a lot more of it. So since he ate a lot more of it, he hit a shavei pruta. Not only did he have a kazayit of notar, he hit the value of a shavei pruta in his eating. Over here, he ate less. And so therefore he didn't reach the threshold of a shavei pruta. That's the way that Rashi brings, and Rabbeinu Gershom also brings this, but then brings a second explanation and says, it depends on the size of the animal. If it's a behema gasa, or is it a behema daka? Because in a behema gasa, as the Rabbeinu Gershom says, bekazayit chilev behema gasa, dechoshiv chelba, because its fats are worth more or have more value to them. As opposed to a behema daka, delo choshiv, it is not as sought after, it is not as qualitatively good, and therefore late be shavei pruta. So what he's saying is that a kazayit chelev from an animal that's a gasa versus a kazayit chelev from an animal that is a daka, there's a difference in the value between fats from a large animal and fats from a smaller animal. You could have just said it because there's more fat in the large animal than is in the small animal. That's what he says. He says that the value, the qualitative value of fats in a larger animal is worth more in a kazayit than it is in a daka. And for that reason, the case before dealt with a asham vadai for the notar, and over here we're not dealing with an asham vadai. The other answer is, some say, kuli alma, that it's dealing with a daka, and Depends what time of year you're dealing with. In the winter, it's cold. You have refrigeration from the ambient air because it's cold out, and therefore the meat does not deteriorate. And that means whatever you're eating, even after a day or even after 2 days, that notar that you're eating has more value in it for the same size of meat or a piece of meat because it hasn't deteriorated. In the summer where it's super hot outside, the meat is going to deteriorate at a much faster rate, and therefore it's going to be worth less. So again, for the same size piece, in one scenario, you would be reaching the threshold of a Shaveh Pruta, and in the other scenario, you would not reach the Shaveh Pruta. As Rashi notes over here, even though these Muktashim are Isurei Hana'ah, nevertheless, all of Mi'ila works that way. That even though it's an Isur Hana'ah, nevertheless, you have to bring in a Shem Mi'ilot when you get Hana'ah from it. The Hainami Chazi L'Gvoa. Here too, it's Ra'oi L'Gvoa. Shimalu Lo Yerdu. Here, it is still Kodesh. First of all, it has an Isur Hana'ah associated with it. Plus, it is Ra'oi L'Mizbeach. Now, Ra'oi L'Mizbeach is not because you're allowed to put it on Mizbeach. It is because if you did put it on the Mizbeach, you would not have to take it off. Imalu, lo yerdu, we say when there's psulo bakodesh. So here, that would go onto the Mizbeach. Since it would go on the Mizbeach, that shows you that it still has relevance within the world of Hekdesh. And number two is, even though it's an Isur Hana'ah, nevertheless, you still are in violation of Mi'ilah. That's because, even though generally Isurei Hana'ah are worthless, nevertheless, we still say you have reached that threshold of a Shaveh Pruta, because there is underlying value in this item because it could end up on the Mizbeach. And besides the fact that all Mi'ilah works like this, which is, even though you're not supposed to be taking from Hekdesh, you did take and you did get Hana'ah from it, and that Hana'ah is therefore punishable with an Hashem Mi'ilot, because that's the restriction of the Torah. When you take or you partake of this Yisrei Hana'ah, you are gaining value, and we look at that value independent of the issue of Hekdesh, and then we charge you with the Hashem Mi'ilot. Right now, next, Achala Chareta Rishona. Amalei Rava the Rav Nachman. So once again, Rava saying to his Rebbe Rav Nachman, Umi Ramar Rabbi Shimon Isur Chal Al Isur. Is it really possible that Rabbi Shimon believes that you can't have Isur Chal Al Isur? Because in the scenario over here, he says that you bring a Chatat on Notar, and even though the Notar is associated with Chalev, you have something that's already Chalev, and now you're adding on the restriction of Notar. And Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says, well, you combine to bring your korbanot over here. But that seemingly implies that he believes there was a violation of chelev by each party, and then a violation of notar between the two of them. One of them had a violation of notar. That is isur chal al isur. Don't we know that Rabbi Shimon is the Tana who believes or champions the opinion that ein isur chal al isur? We know that by the Tanya. Because you have a braita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, al chel nevela b'yom ha-kippurim. Someone who eats nevela on yom ha-kippurim, patur. Does not bring a korban chatat, because Yom Kippur is a chiyuv karet. If you do it b'shogeg, you eat b'shogeg, you'd be chayav a chatat. Yet over here, he's not chayav a chatat, because Yom Kippur is unsuccessful at devolving on the nevela, which is already restricted. Nevela is a sur before you ever entered into Yom HaKippurim. If it was shechted on Yom Kippur, still the animal was a sur coming to Yom Kippur, Rashi says, because of Eber Min HaChai. Tosafot in other places says because of Ishachut, that it wasn't shechted. So there wasn't Isur, that Isur just became Nevela, but the animal was always Isur, therefore Yom Kippur doesn't add on an additional Isur. Here you clearly see that Rabbi Shimon believes, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. The Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yossi say it's an Isur Kolel. There's additional Isurim that are added on by Yom Kippur, which is until now, the individual could only not eat the Nevela that is here. At this point, the individual cannot eat any food besides just the nevela, and therefore the isur will also devolve upon the nevela. It's an isur kol. But what you see here is Rabbi Shimon believes that ein isur chal al isur, and how come in our Mishnah he allows there to be isur chal al isur? The Baal Tosafot are bothered terribly about this because we know that there's a difference between isur mosif and isur kol. When you have an isur kol, some people believe there's ein isur chal al isur. Whereas, when it's an Isur Mosif, we say Isur Chal Al Isur. For instance, there's the Tana Rabbi Yossi, who's of that opinion. That Isur Chal Al Isur works when it's Isur Mosif, doesn't work when it's Isur Kolel. The proof we brought to Rabbi Shimon's position is that doesn't work by Yom Kippur, which is a case of Isur Kolel. who says it doesn't hold, just like Rabbi Yossi, and say, okay, Isser Kolel doesn't work, but Isser Mosif does work. And in our Mishnah, it's a case of Isser Mosif, because until now you had an Isser of Chelev, and that is only Isser Achila, whereas now when you add on an Isser Notar on top of Isser Chelev, not only do you have an Isser Achila, you have an Isser Hana'ah. So that's a case of Mosif. Migo, that you add on the Isser Hana'ah because of the Notar, so too do you add on another Isser Achila for the Notar on top of the Chelev. So who says that Rabbi Shimon just doesn't hold of Isser Kolel works to have Isser Chalisar, but Isser Mosif does? And then that would explain his position over here. That's what Bali Tosfot are bothered about. It also shows you here in the Isser Hana'ah is classified as an Isser Mosif and not an Isser Kolel that we saw in the Bali Tosfot discuss that. Where Tosfot back in Chulin on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph says that Isser Hana'ah is not an Isser Mosif but rather an Isser Kolel, but the Hana'ah makes it an Isser Kolel that is Chamur. And that's why it works. Even if you don't necessarily believe Isser Kolel works all the time, Isser Kolel b'chumra would work. And that's why you need the Isser Hana'ah. So Tosafot, first of all, says that the Gemara had a Mesora that Rabbi Shimon didn't believe that there was Isser Kolel Isser across the board. They had some Mesora like that, because otherwise you could differentiate in that way. That's the first answer he gives. And then he also notes that even if so, why would you bring this case here? What is so essential? What is so helpful about this? We have other cases where Rabbi Shimon says this. Why not bring those cases? So he says this. Kachi Maiti. Why did they bring the case of Yom Kippur? Came in the Ashkenaz of Rabbi Shimon, the late Yisr Kolel, Ben Bi Yisr Kal, Ben Bi Yisr Chamur. The reason to bring Yom Kippur down is to show you another factor here, which is that sometimes, even if you believe Ein Yisr Kal Yisr, if there's an Yisr Chamur, if it's a very high level Yisr, maybe you would make that an exception to the rule and allow it to happen. Yom Kippur is clearly an Isser Chamur. Nevela is an Isser Lav. Yom Kippur is an Isser Karet. So maybe you would think that Isser Chamur can be Chal on an Isser Kal. So when you bring this evidence that Rabbi Shimon says by an Isser Kolel, no difference whether it's Kal or Chamur, it doesn't work. So therefore, Im Tein Ba'al Manami. So then we can take from that and extrapolate that to Akash Kach Nale Delete Isser Mosif. And we know that Rabbi Shimon believes that Isser Mosif also doesn't work because that's the Mesorah that we have. But we also know then, Im Tein Afilu B'Isser Chamur Al Isser Kal Nami Leit Leit. So the reason they brought this case down is because this helps us to establish not only that he doesn't hold of Isser Kal Al Isser, Isser Kolel, and we have Mesorah that also by Isser Mosif, but it also helps us to show that he doesn't believe Isser Chamur is an exception to the rule. And that's why Tosafot says, in the end, the Gemara brought this as the evidence to the fact that Ein Isser Kal Al Isser for Rabbi Shimon. There are those that argue to solve the problem that Yom Kippurim is Ein Isser Mosif because the Isser Achila that's associated with Nevela is only Derech Achila. Whereas by Yom Kippurim, the Isser is not just Isser Achila, it's an Isser Hana'ah that takes away the Inui of Yom Kippurim. And because of that, it becomes an Isser Mosif, because even other types of ingestion or Hana'ah become Asurim, and therefore it's an Isser Mosif. So the Gemara wants to know, how is it then that Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah has a different opinion, saying that Isser is Chalal Isur? Amrav Sheishet Brei the Rabbi Yidei, Kegon Dachal Kulya Bechelba, the case where he ate the kidney covered in fat. So in that situation, the Chelev is the fat around the kidney. The kidney is the notar. So each one of them is independent, but you're eating it in one shot because it's the kidney with its fats on it. The fats are problems of chelev. The kidney is a problem of notar. Wait a minute. Okay. So now you have an additional isur, which is the restriction against eating something that should have gone onto the mizbeach. Heichi ati isur notar. And chaylala. What about the fact that you have chaylev? Fine. That was there all along. When you're magdish the animal, that's something that goes on the mizbeach. That's something that should be placed in the mizbeach. And there has an isur of olin. And isur olin, now how do you have no tar devolve upon something that should have gone on the mizbeach and instead is becoming no tar? How is it that you have now an isur chal al isur? Because this belongs to Gevoah. This belongs to Hashem. Maybe it's because Isha Notar is a serious violation. It involves karet and involves a chatat, whereas Isra Olin is just that. It's an Isra Lav. Va nevela the Isra Kahu. But, and this is what Tosafot pointed out, even though the case by Yom Kippur, where nevela is only an Isra Lav, but Yom Kippurim the Isra Chamurhu, and Yom Kippur is an Isra Karet, and yet, velo ka'at the Isra Yom Kippurim, the Achmur, v'chalal nevela the Kahu. And nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says, the Isra Chamur of Yom Kippur does not devolve upon the Isra Kahu of nevela. So you see that that's not a differentiating factor for Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it should be ein isur chalal isur. Ela, here's the answer, b'kodoshim, gali rachmano da'at isur chalal isur. There's an exception to the rule of ein isur chalal isur, and that is kodoshim. By chulin, by any other area of the Torah, ein isur chalal isur. In the world of kodoshim, we believe that there is isur chalal isur, and the Gemara is going to bring evidence to that. So therefore, in our scenario here, where you have the kidney with the fats around it, when you eat them together, fat results in a korban chatat for the fats. The kulyaz notar, which results in a korban chatat for the kidney, that is notar, but that's in addition to the restriction of olin. There was already a restriction on the kidney because you were supposed to put on mizbeach and not eat it or not do anything else with it. So that isur olin was there beforehand. So you're in violation of that Isra Olin, but even though you're in violation of that Isra Olin, we still have notar devolve upon it. There is Isra Chala Isra because it is Kodashim. So even though we came up with a solution to separate the notar from the Chalef, we didn't have a way to separate the notar from the Isra Olin. The answer in the end is, there is Isra Chala Isra by Kodashim, and therefore the Isra of notar devolves upon the Isra of Olin. The Tanya, Asher Lashem. The Pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin with regards to somebody who's tamei tumata guf, it says there, v'nefesh, ki tiga b'chol tamei, v'tumat adam, o b'beimat meyah, b'chol sheketz tamei. So now the person has tumata guf now, v'chal mibsar zevach ha-shalamim asher l'Hashem. And then he eats from the items that belong to Hashem, from the korbanot that should go to Hashem, v'nechrata nefesh shehi me'amah. That person is subject to a chiyuv karet. And we already had from before, v'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach ha-shlamim asher l'Hashem. Someone who eats from a shlamim v'tumato alav, and he has tumanim nechrata nefesh he me'amah. Someone has tumata guf and consumes the kodshim, then that person is subject to a chiyuv karet for eating kodshim v'tumata guf. Then it says there afterwards, mizar zevach ha-shlamim asher l'Hashem. What does the asher l'Hashem add on? It tells you not only the parts that you're going to get and you're going to eat, but even the parts that go to Hashem. What are the parts that go to Hashem? Those are the emurim. Wait a minute. The emurim themselves, which are the innards that go on the mizbeach, kayulayu b'isrolin, part of them are items that are not subject to the isra of chelev, yet they do have a restriction because they're supposed to go on the mizbeach. And then you have chelev, kayulayu, and a portion of them are also an isra of chelev because they have fats that you're not allowed to eat, or the items that go on the mizbeach. So despite the fact that part of them have Nisr Olim, part of them also have Nisr Chelev associated with them, and that is subject to Nisr Karet, because the Nisr Tumat Aguf, V'chalalei, and nevertheless, the Nisr Tumat Aguf devolves upon them, allows for Nisr to be Chalal Isur. So you see there, that by Kodoshim, we do have Nisr Chalal Isur. Teda the Shekein Hu, and I'll show you additional evidence that that's the case, Taha Rabbi Svirlei Nisr Chalal Isur. Because Rabbi holds, Isur is Chal Isur, but that's only Hanimili, Isur Chamur al Isur Kal. That's only true when it's a more severe Isur that devolves upon a lighter Isur. Aval Isur Kal, al Isur Chamur, lo. But if vice versa, if it's an Isur Kal coming on an Isur Chamur, it wouldn't work. Ube Kodoshim Shemayin Alei. Despite that position of Rabbi, we hear that with regards to Kodoshim, he believes, Tamar Isur Kal, al Isur Chamur Nami Chayo. He says there it also works to have Isra Chal Isur. Daha, Isra Mila Kalhu, and it's subject to a Mita B'day Shemaim, as we saw Rabbi says before, that violation of Mila B'mezid is a Mita B'day Shemaim. On the other hand, Isra Kodoshim, where you're dealing with Chelev of Kodoshim, is an Isra Karet associated with it. And despite that fact, Va'ati Isra Mita and Chal Isra Kalet, the Isra Mi'ilah still affects or devolves upon the Chelev which is an Isur Karet. So you see that even when it's Kal, even when it's an Chiyum Midei Shemayim, it still is successful at adding on an Isur on top of a already existing Chiyum Karet, which is more Chamor. So therefore, you see that Rabbi must believe by Kodashim that even Isur Kal is Kal al Isur Chamor. Titania, Rabbi Omer, Kochelev Lashem. All Chelev from the Korbanot Ashlamim goes to Hashem. Lirabot emurei kodshim kalim lemi'ila. That teaches you that the innards of the kodshim kalim that go to the mizbeach, they are subject to mi'ila. To tell you that the innards of kodshim kalim, because they are lashem, they belong to Hashem. And a mi'ila, as again we know, Rabbi's opinion is only an isur mita b'dei shemayim. Kalach alaylei isur chelev de isur karetu. And they still are successful at devolving that Isur of Mila on top of what is already an existing Isur Chelev, which is an Isur Karei. So Shema Mino. So you see here, by Kodashim Galikra, the Pasuk makes it clear that by Kodashim, there is Isur Kal Isur, even when it's an Isur Kal, that's being Chal on an Isur Chamur. So once again here, you see that by Kodashim, the Pasuk tells you that it works, Isur Kal Isur. So I have an example here where things that are chelev now are subject to mi'ilah. And even though chelev is a chiyuv karet, and mi'ilah is a chiyuv midei shamayim, nevertheless the mi'ilah devolves upon the isur chelev. Now Rashi says, lo yitparesh li'hecha. Regards to Rabbi's position that isur chamor alakal is the only thing that works, he says he doesn't know what the source for this position of Rabbi is, although in the Shita Mikubetzet, an old bet brings Pereshe Ashkenaz. And in the Perushim of the Rishonei Ashkenaz, Perish, the Ika, Breita, Beperek Asara Yuchsin, there is a Breita in Masechet Kiddushin, Tafan Zayin Amud Bet, the Breita Kohen Gadol, Shibala Choto Almana, Kohen Gadol has a restricted Bia, with a sister who is an Almana, Enu Chayav Mishum Almana. He is not in violation of the Isur of Almana, the Muki Laki Rabbonon, the Rabbi Shimon. And they set it up there like the Rabbonon of Rabbi Shimon, the Sabre, Isur Chalal Isur. But Hani Mili, Chamur Al Akal. That's only true when it's a more stringent Isur. Kal Al Chamur, Lo. Umistama, you have to say that Rabbi, Lo Poli Gahai Breita. Rabbi doesn't argue on that Breita. Lo Ashkan Shumtana, Itle Isur Kal, Chalal Isur Chamur. Because we don't find any Tana that says that Isur Kal should devolve upon an Isur Chamur. If it's simply an Isur Kolel, then the Shita Mikubetzet goes through a number of cases that seem to undermine that principle. But given that, that's the source, according to the Shita Mikubetzet, for Rabbi's position over here, that only Isur Chamur is Kal on Isur Kal, but Isur Kal is not Kal on an Isur Chamur, even if it is an Isur Kolel. Now, one thing that's noted over here, and the Gemara takes this as a given, is that Mita B'dei Shemayim is more Kal than Karet. Rashi explains what's the difference. Kalhu dein chayvin ashigata chatat. Rashi says that the difference is that by koreit, if you do it bishogeg unintentionally, you'll end up with a chatat. By chayv midei bishamayim, you don't end up with chatat. That's the difference between them. There are other differences brought down by the Rishonim with regards to the chumrah of koreit versus mita bidei shamayim. Rashi in Shabbat says that koreit involves not only the individual himself being nichrat, but also his children being cut off, Iririmiyu, and therefore the children are affected by it. Whereas Mita B'dei Shemayim only affects the individual's lifespan, does not affect his children's lifespan. That's Rashi in Gemara Shabbat. Rashi in Chumash as well says the same thing, but the Ramban and others disagree with Rashi because they don't think that Iririmiyu applies to all Karet. Rashi says that it's generically true of all Karetot. The Ramban says it's only of those that are more chamur that you have a rimiyu. The other possibility is the Yerushalmi in Bikurim, which is brought by a Tosfot in Shabbat, and a Tosfot in Yevamot suggests that the difference is that karet means you die by the age of 50, whereas mita b'dei shemayim, you die by the age of 60. So there's a 10-year difference in the shortening of one's life between karet and mita b'dei shemayim. The Tosfot in Shabbat suggest that Karet is a Mita of Ben Shishim, whereas Mita B'dei Shemayim isn't an exact time when you're going to pass away. That same Tosafot and Shabbat brings those two possibilities. One is that it's 50 and 60 is the difference between Karet and Mita B'dei Shemayim, Or another opinion, which is that karet is 60, but mita b'yeshemayim has no set date. It just means early, but we don't know how early, or there's no date for that. The other possibility, which is brought by the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayot, is that a person be karet gets that punishment even after he dies. And that death is not enough to be mechaper for any a problem of karet. That is because, according to the Rambam, the punishment of karet is that you're cut off from the everlasting being. That's what the pasuk says in Shmuel, Tehi nishmato tzroar b'tzroar chayim, that your soul should be bound up everlastingly with God. That's what we say about someone who has passed away, that their nishama should be everlastingly connected to Hashem. So that is what the ultimate goal, that's the olam haba, according to the Rambam. And he says karet is someone who is severed from that everlasting relationship. And that's what karet is, according to the Rambam. Again, here the Ramban disagrees and says that can't be true by all kretot. It has to be true by some kretot, which are very severe violations, not all kretot. But the Rambam says that that is true with regards to the karet, whereas mita b'dei shemayim, if you die, that's exactly what was supposed to happen, mita, and therefore you have been nitchaper by the mita b'dei shemayim. So the punishment is sufficed with mita. You don't need additional kapara, and therefore there's no punishment mita b'dei shemayim after death, whereas by karet, there is a punishment after death. The Stei Chemet, in his work on defining different terminologies over there, he brings some chidushim. One possibility is that there is no difference between karet and mita b'dei shemayim. They're exactly the same, which is undermined by our Gemara over here. He also brings that there is another view that mita b'dei shemayim is even more chamor than karet. Once again, that's not the case here because the Gemara clearly states that karet is more chamor than mita b'dei shemayim. Obviously, Rashi adds on the additional one here, which is the shogeg aspect of it, whether you bring a chatat or you don't bring a chatat. And so now the Gemara continues and quotes a braita that presents us with a little bit of a problem, which is, Vatanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain pigul be'olin, vein otar be'olin. Sounds like ain isur chalal isur, even in kodoshim. He's saying something that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, and therefore has an isur olin, meaning it's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, and you're not allowed to partake of it. There, notar and pigul cannot devolve upon it, because that would be isur chalal isur. But you just told me, for Rabbi Shimon and Kodoshim, he does allow it. So Gemara says, Ela Tanayi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. It's a machloket Tanaim in the position of Rabbi Shimon, as to whether he thinks by Kodoshim there is isur chalal isur, which would be our Mishnah, versus the Breita, which says that he doesn't think isur chalal isur. De'ika de'amre, by Kodoshim, isur chalal isur. There are those that believe that by Kodoshim, isur is chalal isur for Rabbi Shimon. That is the Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of the Breita that we just brought, the things that ain't Yisro Chal Yisur by Kodoshim. According to that Tana that says, even by Kodoshim, he doesn't think Yisro Chal Yisur. What does he do with that Pasuk of Kochel Lashem, which is exactly that? It is a case of Yisro Chal Yisur that we learned out of the Pasuk as evidence of the fact that Rabbi held that there was an Isur, Chalal Isur. Even though they are Chalev, Isur Mi'ila is devolving upon them. So you see that there's an Isur Mi'ila, even though it's already Chalev. That can't be what you're going to darshan, because that's clearly Isur, Chalal Isur. Like it says, Mukim Le Vevlade Kodoshim. Explain the case where it is a fetus, it is an offspring of something that's Kodesh. Because Savrei, and he believes, Vladei Kodoshim v'havyatan Yehu Kodoshim, that the Kedusha that devolves upon the offspring of a Behema that is Kadosh, so for instance, in this case, you have a female that is a Shlamim, and then she has a baby, that baby is also a Shlamim, but it only becomes Kodesh when it is born. Does not become Kodesh at the moment of conception. It becomes only Kadosh at the time that it is actually manifest, when it is born. That's what Rashi explains why that is, because the source for this comes from the Pasuk of Rakodoshecha Asher Yelecha. So that Pasuk tells you, yeah, Behavyatanya, hey, there's the Riboy for offspring of Kodesh. Therefore, it uses the terminology of the Pasuk to describe that phenomenon. And that's why it only becomes Kodesh when it is born, And therefore, Tavayu Bahadadeyatu, both Isurim devolve at the same moment. The Isur Chelev and the Isur of Kodesh, meaning Me'ilah, happen simultaneously. Everybody agrees by Bat Achat that there is Isur Chalal Isur, because here you have it by Bat Achat.
Tosafot asks over here, doesn't the Isur Me'ilah only come about after Zvikat Adam? If that's the case, then the Isur Chelev is there way before the Isur Me'ilah. So how do you have it by Bat Achat? Tosafot says that yes, the Isur Me'ilah only happens after Zrikat Adam, but even before Zrikat Adam, there is an Isur, Hana'ah, associated with the Emurim, and therefore there's an Isur that exists, and therefore from the point of birth of the animal, it will have both an Isur associated with Me'ilah, not Me'ilah itself, with the restriction against Hana'ah from that item, as well as the Isur Chelev, which is devolving at the same time. That Isur Hana'ah will morph into the Isur Me'ilah later on, but it still exists in some form beforehand, similar to what we saw by Yom HaKippurim, by the Isur Nevelah, that even if the animal was alive going into Yom Kippur, nevertheless it was already an Isur of either Eber Menachai or Ishakut that pre-existed in Nevelah and turns into the Isur Nevelah, which prevents Yom HaKippurim from devolving upon that Nevelah, according to Rabbi Shimon, because in Isur Kala Isur, even though the Nevelah happened on Yom HaKippurim. In addition, then, Tosafot asks, by Chelev, doesn't the Chelev also come about before the Isur Me'ilah? Tosafot is wondering if that really true, that you have Isur Batachat over here. Because the Chelev is Asur, even in utero. Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Chulin, that if you stick your hand into a pregnant animal and reach to the fetus and pull the Chelev off that fetus and eat it, you're going to be chayav for that Chelev. Now, he does qualify that and says only if it's reached full term. The baby's at full term, then it is a Chelev. What you see from that is it's already called Chelev when it's internal to the animal. Then that means Chelev, Yisur Chelev is there before Havyatan and before the Kodeshim. So how is this Bavadachat? The Tosafot says here, similar to the Chiddush he says in Chulin, which is, yes, Rabbi Yochanan believes that the chelev that's internal is classified as chelev, but only when you take it out. Inside, it's not called chelev. When you take it out and bring it out, then it gets the same chelev, similar to the blood kodeshim, that only when it's born is it kodesh. And therefore, they do happen simultaneously, because even though it's classified as chelev, it doesn't become an Isur chelev until it exits at that time. That's how Tosafot solves that problem of Bavat Achat. And Rashi over here also asks, why didn't the Gemara ask, what does he do with the Braita of Asher Lashem? We brought that Braita at the beginning of the Amud, Asher Lashem, the first evidence of the fact that by Isur Chala Isur, by Kodeshim. So why does the Gemara ask about that Braita? And what is this opinion who says that Ein Isur Chala Isur by Kodeshim for Rabbi Shimon? Why don't they ask from that Braita? So Rashi says, the reason it didn't do that is because the Matzei de Tumut say, Lav Rabbi Shimoni. Because there they can answer, it isn't Rabbi Shimon, or the Rabbon of the Polygalid Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbon would argue, Rabbi Shimon will say, that by Chulin, Isur Chala Isur, Yidei Kolel. And so too over here, this is an Isur Kolel. Because over there, it was the Emurim of the Mizbeach that had an Isur Olim. And now you try to add on top of that, an Isur Tumat Aguf. Well, Tumat Aguf affects not only the things that go on the Mizbeach, it also affects the things that you get to eat, the parts of the animal that are not going on the Mizbeach. And don't have an Isur Olim associated with it. That's an Isur Kolel. Someone who has Tumat Aguf now is restricted in all Kodoshim, not just in the Emurim that go on the Mizbeach. And therefore, because it's an Isur Kolel, it will be Isur Chalal Isur. So that's how you explain that. It's not Rabbi Shimon, but rather it is the Rabbanan's opinion, and there it's an Isur Kolel, and therefore that's why it devolves upon it. Whereas in the second Brit that we are dealing with Isur Me'ilah, on top of Isur of Kodoshim, over there, there's no Isur Mosif, and there is no Isur Kolel, and yet we still say that Isur Kala Isur, so that presents a bigger issue, because even the Rabbonon will not necessarily say that there's Isur Kala Isur. Never you have to give explanation for that Braita, and that's what we said here, it's Bavad Achat. That's one way that Rashi deals with it. The second way Rashi deals with it later on is to say, V'hait Drosha Gavi Tumat Guf Le'el Hashem L'Hashem L'Rabot Emurim Lately. He doesn't hold of that drasha. Umuki la the drasha achrina b'torat kohenim. Then in the midrash halacha vayikra, he uses it for a different limud, l'rabot et alan v'et ha-yotzei. To say that lan, lina, and yotzei, they are all still subject to the restriction of asher b'ashem, which means things that were ra'oi l'ashem. If you eat them in tumat aguf, then you're going to be in violation of eating kodoshim b'tumat aguf, and so they use that to be merabe lan and yotzei. Whereas the other opinion says asher l'ashem means only that which is ra'ui l'ashem is subject to tumat aguf. That which is not ra'ui l'ashem is not subject to tumat aguf. And Tosfot then is bothered by the fact that we use asher l'ashem for truly mudim then. Want to teach you that only things that are ra'ui l'ashem are subject to the punishment of eating them b'tumat aguf. And number two is asher l'ashem comes to tell you that even a murim, which already have an isur olim and an isur chelev, nevertheless, tumat aguf will be relevant by them. It says in the end that they're both viable options as a limud, and therefore, since we don't have any reason to believe one is better than the other, we end up bringing both of them, we include both of them for that reason. Okay, with that we finish the fifth perek, hadron alach, dam shchita. Now we begin the sixth perek, and mevi asham taloi. Someone who brings an asham taloi, v'nodo lo shalo chata. Before he has a chance to bring the korban asham taloi, he gets the information that he didn't do any sin. Im hachalo nishchat, if it happened before he actually shechted the asham taloi, it's a bir e be'eder. Then he goes out and grazes in the flock. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, can go back to its normal life of grazing with the animals out there. So you see from here, clearly Rabbi Meir believes that it is chulin, and the Gemara will discuss why he believes that's the case. Chamim omrim bir e achi stev, goes out to graze until it gets a moment. V'imacher v'iplu damav l'nidava. And then it will be sold off, and the monies will be put towards the nidava. And the Bali Tosafot point out over here, it specifically says iplu the nidava, and not that it would be damav ola, because the difference between yamim of damav ola and nidava is who brings the nisachim that are associated with it. If it's an ola, then it's your personal korban, you need to bring the nisachim. If it turns into a nidava, then it's given to the coffers of the tzibur to be used for keitz mizbeach, and then the nisachim come from the coffers of the tzibur. So here it's specific to say, v'iplu damav l'nidaba. Relezer omer yikrav, shemeinu ba'al chetzeh, haribah chetacher. Relezer says, you put on the mizbeach, because if he doesn't need an asham taloi for this, he might need an asham taloi for something else. And we've already seen the more extensive view of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you can bring an asham taloi even on a voluntary basis. In Mishnah Nishchat, no dolo, if he only finds out he didn't sin after the shechita of the asham taloi, yishafech adam, you pour out the blood, and that's, as Rashi points out, you do it into the amat, amayim, into the sewer system of the mikdash. But basai, you'd say the beit ha-sreifa, and then you would take out the flesh, the remainder of the animal, to the beit ha-sreifa, the place where they burn up things that are made psul b'kodesh, tmeim, and other things that require sreifa b'kodesh. Now, what's interesting here is that you bring it the sreifa, even though Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim have differentiated opinions over here. Rabbi Meir thinks that it was chulin, and therefore it's chulin shenishchat b'azara. Chulin shenishchat b'azara is subject to kvura, not to sreifa. And as a Rashi notes over here, the apagav the chulin shenishchatu b'azara b'kvura b'alma hai b'sreifa davi k'zevach pasul. Over here it looks different than a regular case of chulin b'azara. Over here it was a korban just till moments ago. And therefore, it's more similar to something that is a zemech pasul, which would be subject to sreifa. Obviously, according to the Chachamim, who said it was kadosh, then you have here something that was shechted b'kadosh, and it was psulo b'kodesh, therefore it's subject to sreifa. Nizrak adam, if he already did the zrikat adam, and then only then finds out that he didn't do the sin, ye'achel, then he can eat the basar, meaning the korban was brought for the purpose of discharging a safek. It did its purpose, and now that the safek's over, it doesn't change the fact that the asham taloi was an asham. Rabbi Yossi Meir, if you lo adam bakos, yizarek. That it's not only if the zrika of the dam was already done, even if the dam has been collected and is sitting in the kos, you also can do the zrika of the dam and eat the basar, even though you found out that you don't need an asham taloi anymore, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that kol omed yizarek, kizaruk dami. Anything that's ready to be put on the mizbeach, it's as if it was put on the Mizbeach already. So it's as if the Zrikat Adam was already done. And therefore, the Basar Ye'achel, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if the blood sitting in the coast, now in the receptacle, Yitzarek V'Basar Ye'achel. Hashem Vadai ain't okay. Hashem Vadai doesn't work like an Hashem Taloi. That is, Achelo Nishchat, if you find out before it was shechted that you don't need to bring this Hashem, then
He goes out and grazes in the Eder. That's Chulin the Gamrei, because it was a Hekdesh Tolt. You did it by mistake. We'll have to understand why over here it's classified as a mistake, and by the Hashem Taloi, the Chachamim classified as being Kadosh. That the Gemara will address. Mishnah Nishchat, once it already shechted, Arzei Yikaver, then it is buried because it was clearly Chulin. Now this is Chulin, Shenichshat Bazara. Nizirak Adam, Abasai Yetzei Lebeit HaSreifa. Even if Zrikat Adam is done, but you find out that it was not necessary to bring this Hashem, then the Basar will still be burnt. Not like the case of the Hashem Taloi, that once the Zrikat Adam is done, the Basar can be eaten, even if you find out the information after the fact. Then again, we'll have to explain what the difference is between Hashem Vadai and an Hashem Taloi. Shor Nishkal Enu Kain, a shor that is subject to being stoned for killing someone, that shor is different than the case of Hashem Taloi according to Rashi. Ad Shalo Nishkal, before it is stoned, Yetzei V'Yireh Be'Eder. It goes out and then grazes in the Eder, meaning it's Chulin the Gamrei. Unlike the Hashem Taloi, according to the Chachamim, it's Kodesh. Mishin Nishkal, once it was stoned already, and then you find out the information, is Mutar Bahana'ah. It's totally fine. So it's differentiated from the case of Hashem Taloi, that if you find out the information beforehand, here the Rabbanan agree that it goes out to Chulin, as opposed to the case of Hashem Taloi. For the Rambam contrasts the Shor Nishkal with the Hashem Vadai. But here, the Shor Nishkal, after it's already killed, and we find out it wasn't necessary, it's Mutar Ba'anah, as opposed to the Hashem Vadai, where we find out post Zrikat Adam, that the Basar is Yotzei L'Sreifa, and it still has a restriction, and is Asur Ba'anah. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Egel Arufa Einu Chayin, Rashi L'Shitato again says, it's different than the Hashem Taloi, which is Ad Shalo Ne'erfa Teitzei V'Tireh Be'eder, as opposed to the Chachamim's view by Hashem Taloi, where it is Kodesh, and therefore it's Yireh Ad Shistaev. Over here, they agree with Rabbi Meir that it's Chulin the Gamrei, if you find out beforehand who the murderer was, or there's no necessity for an Egel Arufa over here, then if you know that information beforehand, it becomes total Chulin. Once it already has its head chopped off, the Egel Arufa, then it has to be buried in place. Because the whole point of bringing the Egel Arufa was because we didn't know. And when we did the cutting up the back of the neck of the Egel Arufa, that's what the situation was. That was the circumstance at that time, was Ala Safek. Just because we have the information after the fact doesn't change the fact that you needed to bring it Ala Safek. And therefore, it will remain in its status of being an Isur Hana'ah. And that's why it was required to be buried, even though it wasn't necessary, because of the fact we know who the murderer is. Nevertheless, at the time it was brought, it was necessary. Whereas the Rambam sees it as being contrasted with the Shor Nishkal, which is that the Shor Nishkal after Mitah is Mutar Ba'ana'ah, as opposed to the Egel Arufah, which is not Mutar Ba'ana'ah, and that's for the same reason, as we just noted, is because it came Ala Safek. So now the Gemara explains, B'mai Plige, what is the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim here as to what the status of this animal is? Rabbi Meir Savar, David de lo tzarich le, lo maktish le. Rabbi Meir believes, if you don't need it, you're not maktish it. So when you find out the information that you're not maktish, this animal is an Hashem Taloi, or in essence, it's a hekdesh taot. Rabbanan Savar, if no, shelo libo nokfo, gomera maktish. Since he is hanged by the guilt of the fact that he might have done something wrong, and therefore he's bringing the Hashem Taloi to protect himself in the interim because of that uncertainty, that fact in of itself makes it that he wants to be Makdish, this animal. He wants it to be Hekdesh. Therefore, it needs to Yireh Ad Shistaev, because it was a full-fledged Hekdesh, despite the fact that it was a Safek. He did it full-heartedly because of the fact that he hanged by that guilt of the Safek that he did something wrong. And now we have Tana, we have a Braita that adds on, Ben Shinodalo, Shechata Ben Shinodalo, Shalochata. And it doesn't matter what the information is that you find out in these scenarios, whether it's to what the position of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are. It doesn't matter whether you find out in the end you didn't do the sin, or you find out in the end you did do the sin. If you didn't do the sin, you didn't have to bring anything. If you did do the sin, now you have to bring a Chatat. Plige Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. Doesn't matter which piece of information you get, they still hold of their positions. In the case where you find out you did do a sin, to tell you the Rabbi Meir's position, or the strength of Rabbi Meir's position. Even though now he knows that he did sin,
Gaven to Beidna, the Hafershay, Loyada, the time that he separated away this Korban Hashem Taloy, he didn't have that information. Therefore, he never full-heartedly was Makdisha. Therefore, Teitzei, Mitireb Eder, goes out and it is totally Chulin. Ubinodolo Shalokhata, when he finds out that he didn't sin, that case is brought here to Lodiacha Kochon de Rabbanan, to teach you the power of the Rabbanan's position that they subscribe to it, Apagab de Lokhata, even though he didn't sin. Kevan de Bidna de Afreshe Lo Yada, the time that he segregated out this to be a Korban, he did not have that information. Therefore, Libo Nakvo Hava, his heart is panging him, he has feelings of guilt, Hilka Gamar Maktish, and therefore he's Gomer and Maktish the animal, full-heartedly. Which is differentiated from the case of Hashem Vadai, whereby the Hashem Vadai, the person is Maktish it because they think they have a chait. It's not because they are pangs of guilt or they're thinking they need to bring it to protect themselves in the interim because of the safek. They're bringing it because they sin and they think they have a sin. When they find out it's not a sin, it becomes a hetesh ta'ot. That's why the Chachamim by an Hashem Vadai agree that over there it goes out the chulin. Whereas in the case of the Hashem Taloi, where they think that there's this overarching theme of guilt and libo nokfo, therefore they believe the hetesh happens even in the face of the safek, even in the face of the possibility that the information will come out negative and he wouldn't have to bring the korban. Tosafot noted back on Yudchet Amud Aleph, there are actually three opinions in this matter. There are the Chachamim over here who believe that the animal is Kadosh Legamre because he bo nokfo and therefore he's Makdishit despite the Safek. There's Rabbi Meir over here who says that he is always on the edge with regards to being Makdishit and he's never Gomer but Libo to Makdishit unless he has to or it's the last moment. But until then, if he gets information and he finds out he didn't need to bring it, we would say that it's chulin, it's hekdesh ta'ot. But Rabbi Meir agrees, as long as that information is not there, it has a din of kedusha. And if you're shechting it b'chutz, you'll be chayav for shkutei chutz, because this is an Hashem Taloi that belongs on the Mizbeach internally, until we get information to the contrary. Back on Daf Yudchet, Tosafot says that the Chachamim and the Braita there are differentiated from the Chachamim here, and they're even more makil, because those Chachamim believe not only when you find out the information is in chulin, but even prior to that point in time, it's not really a full-fledged hekdesh. And if you do shkutei chutz with it, you would not be chayav for shokhet something that's bachutz. They're one step above Rabbi Meir that it's chulin the gamrei even before you find out the information. Amar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, Moder Rabbi Meir the chachamim b'mafrish shnei hashamot ha'akrayut. Nitkaper b'achad mehem. Tosafot says you don't need to have the gear stuff nitkaper b'achad mehem, even if you're not nitkaper b'achad mehem, that it would be the same din, the sheni yireh hachis tei, that the second one goes out to graze, v'imacher, v'sol v'bol d'mav l'nidava, and then the proceeds will be given to the coffers of the tzibur, as he brought as nidavot, olot on the kates mizbeach, or the kates mizbeach. So my time up, why would Rabbi Meir agree in this case that even though he was mafrish, the animal misafek, that it's still binding? Why don't we say the same thing we say by the Hashem Taloi, that he believes that a person's not makdish something misafek? So my daima, ad gan lo pligi Rabbi Meir leon de Rabbonon. There, Rabbi Meir disagrees with the Rabbonon, el mishum de lo gali deite de libo nokfo. Because we don't have any evidence showing that he's really plagued by this, and that he really would be makdish the animal, despite the fact that it's being a safek. He never articulates or takes any action that shows or demonstrates to us that libo nokfo. Over here, he only had to take or separate out one Hashem, my time after Shetre. So then why did he segregate out two Hashemot? The Savar, Imirkas Chado, Michapana Beidach. If one of them gets ruined or shechted, something happens to it, Michapana Beidach Chavre, and I will then use its partner or the other alternative, I will gain Kapara from the other one. Came into Galidate Ledibo Nokfo Haya. There he gives evidence through his action that he is plagued by the possibility that something might go wrong. Since that is the case, he definitely was gamar in makdish, the animal, because of the fact that he demonstrated by the fact that he separated out two, that he's worried about this. And if he's worried about this, that means that he is gomar in makdish, the two animals, because he's clearly doing it to deal with an issue that is bothering him, and therefore he's gomar in makdish. But by the case of the Hashem Taloi, the fact that he separated out is just because he's kind of holding out and hoping that something will come about that he'll get the information. If he's pressured, he will make it into hekdesh. But otherwise, he wouldn't want it to be hekdesh if he knew the information that he was supposed to get. And we have no demonstrative action that shows that libo nofo. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, modim chachamim the Rabbi Meir basham taloi shehuz muaydav deyetzev yireh beider. Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Meir in a case of an asham taloi where the person was only bringing the asham taloi because Edim testified that he was chayav, that he might have been misafek over an issue of shogeg that is chayav achatat, that there, if he finds out that the Edim were false Edim, because they were huzmu, the other Edim came along and said, Imanu Aitim, you were with us, there's no way you could testify to this matter, there, they agreed with Rabbi Meir and said the animals pull in. My time, Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan aleichet da afer shei al piatzmo. Chachamim only disagreed with Rabbi Meir where he acts of his own volition, Vamrinan, and the reason we say that he is acting here and being makdishit is because libo nokfo, because he has pangs of guilt or he's worried about it, and therefore he's makdishit. But heichet al piedim afer shei, over here, where he didn't take it off of his own volition, he wasn't certain or he disagreed with them, and therefore the only reason he's bringing it is because they didn't testify to that fact. He doesn't really rely on the Edim. The Savar, at some point they're going to be disproven or found guilty and therefore I won't have to bring it. So he never is gomer b'libo to makdish the animal until he is absolutely has to do it. And if we get information in the interim that he doesn't need to bring it, like the fact that these Edim were huzmu, then we will release it to Chulin because it is definitely a hekdesh taut, like Rabbi Meir says. Okay, we're going to stop here. 15 lines down on the top of Chav Daled Amud Aleph.